Hi, I'm Anna, the Ethical Systems Nerd, with today's Nerd Note. Today is March 14th, famously Pi Day and the birthday of Albert Einstein. And today is the day when, in 1663, Otto Guericke finished writing his book, Atones de Guericke Experimenta Nova ut Vocantur Magdeburgica de Vacuo Spatio. That means Otto Guericke's new Magdeburgian experiments about vacuums in space. We'll just call it de vacuo. You might have seen a recreation of von Guericke's famous demonstration in which two teams of horses were unable to pull two hemispheres apart when the air between them had been pumped out. These are known as Magdeburg hemispheres. The book De Vacuo also includes a description of the Magdeburg thermometer. As you can see, Guericke worked the name of his hometown, Magdeburg, in a lot. We'll come back to that later. You can watch an informative and very entertaining video about all this online, which includes a 1983 attempt to recreate Guericke's experiment. This happened in Boston. And it dramatically failed because the two teams of horses, one of the teams of horses pulled too soon, which severed, broke the vacuum basically. So they flew apart very dramatically. It's very entertaining. I'm a programmer, so I can totally sympathize with the stress of doing a high stakes public demonstration. It's good to remember that von Guericke was considerably more experienced with horses, living in 1663 as opposed to 1983, and had practiced and perfected this demonstration a lot. So when it came time to perform this demonstration for the King of Prussia, talk about pressure, no pun intended, air pressure, it worked perfectly, and Guericke was awarded a pension for the rest of his life. That's nice. Von Guericke's demonstrations eventually got his work noticed by Robert Boyle, who was inspired to look at air pressure and vacuums, which turned out really well for him because he is now known as one of the founders of modern chemistry and is famous for Boyle's law, which says that we can calculate how much the air in this syringe will squish if I seal at the bottom and apply a certain known force to the top, which turns out to be really useful. Robert Boyle was a very important person in the history of science, and one who bears a lot of responsibility for how it all went terribly wrong. Robert Boyle was born in Ireland to an English family who got rich by stealing land and resources from the Irish, and when they ran out of Ireland, taking that strategy to the rest of the world. Boyle was also a director of the East India Company. And he helped kick off the justification of racism in scientific terms. So it's not really a surprise that Boyle took an elitist attitude to science as well. The book Brewing Science, Technology, and Print, 1700 to 1890 by James Sumner, talks about how during that time, brewing beer was transformed from a domestic craft into a scientific industrial process. And one question is, who was allowed to write about brewing? Robert Boyle was part of a faction within the Royal Society trying to boost that organization's importance. And their argument was something along the lines that disinterested gentlemen, independent both intellectually and financially, are the only reliable revealers of nature's knowledge. This idea is developed in Stephen Chapin's book, Social History of Truth, and in the better known book, Leviathan and the Air Pump, published recently. Certainly, brewers couldn't be trusted to write about brewing. They were clearly too burdened with all that practical knowledge built by generations of informal experimentation. Experiments only count if they take place in an official laboratory by financially independent gentlemen. This has pretty much been the line of institutional science right up to the present day, although it looks like there is finally starting to be some momentum for change. Let's get back to beer. Traditionally, in most of Europe, every housewife brewed her own beer for her family. As people lived in bigger villages, there were communal brewing facilities, and eventually some people began to specialize in brewing beer for sale to the rest of the village. And in larger towns and then in cities, brewing was more commonly professional and eventually became an industrial process. Because water wasn't safe to drink, wheat beer was an everyday drink for just about everybody. So making beer could be a reliable way to make a decent living or even get rich if you lived in a big enough town. And one person who used beer to try to make money was Otto von Guericke. Guericke was born to a well-off family, but lost everything because of the other main reason you might have heard of the town of Magdeburg. Magdeburg was completely destroyed, and 20,000 of the town's 25,000 inhabitants were brutally killed in the siege of Magdeburg. It was part of the 30 Years' War. The phrase Magdeburg Quarter came to refer to the fact that no quarter was given to the civilians of Magdeburg. The siege was one of the inspirations for Bertolt Brecht's Mother Courage and Her Children. Otto Guericke, who later in his life wrote about his scientific experiments and helped found chemistry, meteorology, and so much of the scientific knowledge which underlies the technology of the modern world, first wrote one of the best known accounts of the siege of Magdeburg. During such rage, this wonderful and great city, like a princess over the entire land, stood completely in flames amidst terrible misery, unspeakable distress, and heartbreak. Guericke would have been about 30 years old when, because of his engineering expertise, he was appointed to the Reconstruction Committee to rebuild Magdeburg from the ground up for its 5,000 surviving citizens. Guericke would dedicate his life to rebuilding his city, serving as mayor alongside pursuing his scientific experiments. And Guericke started the rebuilding of his city and his family's fortune by brewing beer. I would love to know how much his practical brewing experience contributed to his later scientific discoveries, but certainly the interplay of temperature and ingredients, the practical skills which enabled him to build and maintain the brewery equipment, and the careful attention to minute details of process must have helped prepare him to build his Magdeburg hemispheres, his Magdeburg thermometer, and conduct his Magdeburg experiments, so as to ensure his town's name is now forever linked with curiosity and innovation. In January of 1681, Guericke was almost 80 years old and left Magdeburg to avoid an outbreak of the bubonic plague. He would live another 5 years in happy retirement. 2 months after he left, a baby was born in the rebuilt city of Magdeburg. One of the most prolific composers in history and a contemporary of Bach, Georg Telemann, was born on March 14th.